Last weekend, John McLaughlin did something he had never done before in the 34-year history of the McLaughlin Group. He didn't show up. He wasn't feeling well enough, but he did provide the voiceover for some of the taped elements of the show. Longtime panelist Pat Buchanan guided the show in John's absence. Television was John McLaughlin's third career. He started off as a Jesuit priest, teaching at Catholic high schools in New England. Then he transitioned to politics, ran for the United States Senate in Rhode Island while still a priest. He ran as an anti-war Republican, anti-Vietnam War, and lost to the incumbent Democrat. He then found work as a speechwriter in the Nixon White House under his then boss, Pat Buchanan. In 1980, John tried doing a radio call-in show, but according to the Washington Post, was fired, quote, for talking too much and taking too few calls. In 1982, when John started the McLaughlin Group, I couldn't have cared less about politics. Nothing could get me to watch Meet the Press then, but I watched the McLaughlin Group for the same reason Saturday Night Live writers did, because it was funny, because it was something we had never seen before.
Most memorable moment in Bush's 500 days, Pat Buchanan.
I think when the Berlin Wall came down and he was seated there and the cameras came in and he gave that sort of laid-back response.
Yeah, well, you're shading that in his favor. I mean, that has to be the euphemism of the year.
I grew up in Irish Boston, where I had never met a Republican. In my mind, all Republicans were drawn in the gloomy image and likeness of Richard Nixon. And there, on the McLaughlin Group, for the first time in my life, I saw Republicans laugh. I didn't know they did that. Republicans John McLaughlin and Pat Buchanan would get into arguments with liberal Eleanor Clift, and it could get hot and it could get very angry, but at some point there would always be laughter. Always. At the McLaughlin Group peak, John had the highest rated political talk show in the country because he had people like me watching who didn't care about politics. TV executives wanted a piece of the McLaughlin magic. They entertained countless pitches from people who wanted to create a show that they all said would be the McLaughlin Group about everything. That was the pitch, the McLaughlin Group about everything. I personally was asked to help out on a few pilots for networks where the pitch was simply that, the McLaughlin Group about everything. None of those shows went anywhere until Bill Maher got politically incorrect on Comedy Central, complete with Bill's version of the McLaughlin set. Bill in the middle seat and two guests on each side of him, joking and arguing about the issues of the day, not just the political issues. And Bill is still doing that on HBO. Much of the programming on cable news networks is built on the John McLaughlin idea that the host could have an opinion and that reporters on the show could have opinions and that they could disagree and they could laugh, just like people in bars and kitchen tables everywhere. I joined the McLaughlin Group as a regular panelist in the 1990s. I used to sit in that chair right there to John's right. John always had the same complaint about me. He would corner me in the hallway before the show and say, last week's transcript shows that you had the lowest word count in the show, and every letter, every email we get about you says, we want to hear more from O'Donnell, we want to hear more from O'Donnell. And I would say the same thing every time. I'd say, John, why would I ever want the letters and email to say anything else? And he never got it. The one thing that John never understood was the power of silence. So after that complaint, he always walked away from me just saying, just keep talking this week, just keep talking. John could be difficult, but I never saw that side of him. I know some panelists and staff members had real problems with John, but by the time I arrived, I think maybe he had mellowed a bit, and I, for one, never had a difficult moment with him. The only thing he ever complained to me about was my word count, and he had that twinkle in his eye when he was saying it, even though he was trying to sound like John McLaughlin, the TV character. Thanks to John, I'm in a Hirschfeld, a drawing by the legendary Broadway cartoonist Al Hirschfeld. Before his death in 2003, Al Hirschfeld's drawings of Broadway stars graced the pages of the New York Times for decades and the covers of playbills. Al Hirschfeld was not in the business of drawing the casts of TV shows, least of all political talk shows. But John paid top dollar, a price no other television show would pay, to get the great Al Hirschfeld's rendition of the McLaughlin Group. And he did it three times. Each time there was a major cast change in the show. Here's my Hirschfeld. on the McLaughlin Group mug. I'm the guy at the bottom. I had a bit more hair than that, but I guess Al Hirschfeld wanted us to have something that would last well into my balding years. John spent all that money on those Hirschfelds, not just for his own vanity, but because he was the first to see that Broadway, show business, had something to teach Washington. And in his day, John was Washington's greatest showman. John McLaughlin died yesterday at the age of 89. Broadway has a tradition when one of the great stars of the theater passes away. All Broadway theaters dim their lights for a minute. Tonight, we dim our lights for the first big star of political talk, John McLaughlin.